You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune. I'm sitting in for Phil today, and we are ready to start our 1819 News Hour. At the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by 1819 News CEO Brian Dawson. Joining us now is 1819 News Editor-in-Chief Jeff Poore. Jeff, how are you today?
Doing well, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. I mean, you know, I can't believe I'm trapped in a studio on this beautiful Friday afternoon, but we didn't know it was going to be so nice today.
No, and well, here we are. We're doing our civic duty.
We are. Backing up Phil. Does Phil ever fill in for you? Does he ever back you up? I'm just curious. Does this go one way?
No, I don't. You and maybe Joey, April Marie Fogle used to, but I don't take many days off.
You don't, and you work from anywhere. People should know you might very well be doing a show from a hotel room.
Yeah, well, so during session, I'll do one day a week. I'll do the show, and usually it's like this: like my show's on 9 to noon, and I always get a hotel that has a noon checkout. So the show wraps up at like 11:57, and you should see it. It's like an art of like packing all my radio gear up within that 3 minutes before the bell rings.
Well, you're the most organized guy in conservative talk radio, so I'm guessing you've got everything packed except the microphone and the laptop by the time the show ends.
Yeah, and usually if you go down to State House, like if you're going upstairs in the Senate, they make you wear a tie. If you just go to the house, you just wear jeans and a dress shirt and a jacket. But for some reason, you have to wear a tie. Now, there's some reporters, if you could take a break from showering for 2 months and still get in and out of the Senate, but don't dare come up there with blue jeans.
You and I could both name names right there. We know people that have been accused of bathing about once a month.
Yes. There's one individual in particular, and I don't know, like, for years and years and years how that individual has, like, survived, but such as it is, that's where we're at.
Well, we just had Paul DeMarco on. We spent some time talking about the Birmingham Southern situation. I'm just curious, and I'm not going to ask you to put a lot of time into that, but have you heard anything today new or different on that saga?
Like, my understanding is they just exaggerated their balance sheets.
Yeah.
And, I this seems like way too risky of a bet. They're going to have to come back with different terms. I had Senator Elliott on my show today, or the do every Friday.
Yeah.
And that's what he thinks is going to happen. They're just going to have to do a do-over and figure this out.
Well, I think that's interesting, and I think some of the dialogue coming from the college right now raises more questions. If I'm the guy that's got to make the decision on the loan, some of the stuff I'm hearing coming from them at this moment in lawsuits kind of confirms that, yeah, I may have made the right decision by not handing over several million state dollars to these guys. I mean, I understand being in financial straits, and clearly they are. I mean, a lot of people have looked at it. I think they've been pretty candid about how they got in that. They had a president that overspent on capital projects. Enrollment has dropped. A lot of things have contributed to where they find themselves. But, Jeff, they're out there. Their attorneys are on the record saying, if we don't get this money, we've got to close at the end of the semester, which we're talking about 6 weeks here. If you're in such dire financial straits that you can't even make it to the end of the academic year, how is that a good loan risk?
Exactly. Like, why are – and this isn't like a very big student body. I just – how bad are things really?
Well, they're down to under 750 students. We know that.
Yeah, like, would you send your kids there right now?
Probably not, because I would have to anticipate moving my kids next semester or next year.
Well, tell me how this sounds. University of Alabama at Birmingham Southern.
Well, I'd probably tickle you as an Auburn fan just to see that happen.
What else is a viable solution?
Yeah,
Auburn University at Birmingham Southern, or whatever it is. State's just gonna take this over. This is it. It goes by the wayside of like Judson College or something.
Right. Well, and that, you know, that was interesting to me. The state does have Marion Institute, which they did take over. That was a private school, but they got in trouble and the state took it over. And it has worked out well. But right across the street, you had Judson College, who got into a financial bind. And I mentioned earlier, that's my daughter-in-law's alma mater. She played basketball there. Very emotional when it shut down. But the state did not step in and save Judson, even though they had a state college directly across the street. Doesn't mean that they couldn't figure out a way to do this with Birmingham Southern, but it is a private school, and I can see it being taken over. One of the things Paul and I talked about, you know, that is 192 acres in the heart of Inslee. I'm in the Birmingham area. You're not, but you know the area, and that's not an ideal location, though the campus is secure. They've never had any problems there, and it is a beautiful campus. But what else could that property be used for other than an educational institution? I just don't see many other opportunities in that in
Birmingham
that parcel.
City could, various these schools could buy it or something. I don't know. You know, last time I stepped foot on the campus of Birmingham Southern, it was Gene Stallings' final game at Legion Field, Auburn-Alabama game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been that long since I've been, had any reason to go to Birmingham Southern. That's where I parked and walked to Legion Field.
Well, I've been on there since then. As you know, my wife is a public school teacher. She's a Spanish teacher at Mountain Brook High School, and she does immersion workshops over the summer quite a bit where they actually sign an agreement. From the time they step through the gates, they can't do anything but speak Spanish until they leave. And she loves those things. Man, she loves them. And one of the ones she went to a few years ago was at Birmingham Southern, and I had to drive her out and drop her off. And that was actually the first time I had been on campus in probably 15 or 20 years. I've only been there a couple of times in my life anyway. But I was taken by how beautiful that campus was as soon as you go through the gates and you see it. But in the heart of Inslee, I just don't see it being anything else but a school. And if the school shut down, I think you're selling raw land for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know. They could do something with it. I don't know, but I just it's not, like you said, valuation on that is not going to be big. It's got to be some kind of government there, I would think.
Yeah, and I you mentioned earlier, I think that's where they're running into a problem. The school values the property at around $95 million, and from what I understand, appraisers are valuing it at closer to $22 million. And $17 million of that is already collateral with Service First Bank. So doesn't leave a lot for the state to hang their hat on, and I think that's where our treasurer has an issue with the whole deal.
I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, they inflate the evaluation, and just like I just the young Boozer is doing, I guess, his constitutional duty here.
Yep, we'll see how it plays out. Judge, they'll be hearing next week, and I think the judge is going to go ahead and issue a ruling next week because of the timing of everything. So we'll see how all this plays out. Hey, I want to shift gears a little bit with you here, and I'm not going to ask you to go too deep into it. I just want to get your thoughts on it. I will tell you this is an issue Brian and I are going to talk about on the second half of this hour, what we're referring to as the 18-19 News Hour today. We watched as multiple national news outlets last week took a press release from a known terrorist organization, Pathological Liars, that is their history, and they ran with that story as if it were fact, accusing Israel of bombing a hospital in Gaza. They did not lift a single finger to vet any of the information they were handed. They just ran with it, put it in their headlines, claimed it as the truth. how far have we fallen with the media in this country? Both you and I are feeding our families by being in this industry. How bad has it gotten when major organizations will take the word of terrorist and treat it as fact?
I mean, it's like wish casting, or it's confirmation bias. They wanted it to be true. It was too good not to be true.
You're right. They desperately wanted Israel to be the bad guy somewhere, somehow.
It was like a giddiness. It was so weird, you know. Yeah. Like, oh, we finally shown that they're the evil people. Like Benjamin Netanyahu woke up that morning and he said, "You know what? I feel like bombing a hospital today."
Right.
We showed his true colors. Like the way these people think, and I wonder if they really do think that that's the way the Israeli people, the Israeli government, think about Gaza. Because that's the way they think about you and I. They think you and I are getting up in the morning as conservatives, and how can we be racist or whatever? But who cast that kind of judgment on their fellow man just with not knowing anything about them, just based solely on their political stripes, that they assume that this person is like that? And it's so, so weird.
And you know what's really strange about that to me is I don't think that way about liberals. I really don't. I don't view them as waking up every morning and trying to figure out a way to destroy America. I don't view it that way. But I've got some that, well, you may be right. But I've got friends that I know they think that way about conservatives. They seriously believe that we do wake up every day and figure out, you know, how can we be more racist today? Which, in fact, racism does not fall in line with the conservative point of view at all. But that's their concept, and that's the way they look at it. I agree with you in terms of their anxiousness to report something negative about Israel. But even as that report was coming out, one of the thoughts I had is Israel has been in a lot of conflicts, especially over the last 70, 80 years since they reestablished in Israel. And when have they ever had the reputation of bombing hospitals or school? They've never done that. And the only time it has ever happened is when their enemies have tried to shield themselves in places like hospitals and schools and have hidden ammunition there and explosives and kind of forced it to become a target in order to execute a war. There's no reason for the Wall Street Journal to believe that Israel would go out and intentionally do this.
No, well, they just, Scott, it's clear, like, playing right into the Hamas propaganda, because they have built them up to be that evil, right?
Right.
But the other thing about Israel is, like, they would dominate that region of the world if they weren't so careful about this, right?
Right.
Like, they go way out of their way, almost to a fault.
Yes.
To strategically pursue these guys in the Middle East. You know, it's weird, man, because when I saw that story, I'm like, at a certain point, like, who actually got attacked here? And why is the American left, like, they're always trying to, like, make it about something else?
Right.
Don't want to own the fact that most of the anti-Semites in this country are on the American left. They're not on the right. They got to own their people. They're pro-Palestinian people. They do this, and this illustrates that point. But you know, these guys that talk a big game about inclusion and diversity and all of that. Well, you got to put out your home fires before you can't come at us on the right.
Well, and you just touched on something else. There seems to be a really strong move on the left to somehow separate Hamas from Palestine, as if these aren't actual Palestinians that are in Hamas.
Right.
And I'm looking at the Palestinian Legislative Council. 73 members are the Hamas candidates. They have a supermajority, but they're somehow separate. That's bizarre to me. Jeff, we got about 20 seconds to go. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts going forward on this war with Israel? Does it expand?
why is it taking so long? Why do we, every day it says Israel any day now, any moment now, will begin its ground invasion? And it's just, I don't know. I feel like the longer they wait, the harder this is going to be.
I agree with you. Jeff, thank you for joining us, and good luck with everything going on in 1819. You're doing a great job over there, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. Welcome back to Right Side Radio, y'all. Hey, listen, I tried to join you a little earlier. Boomer wouldn't let me. I try to start the break about 30 seconds early every time. We have heard today. Oh, and by the way, for those just joining us, I'm Scott Buttram. That's why I don't sound like Phil Williams. I'm from the Trustful Tribune, sitting in for Phil today. If you have been with us, you've heard from Paul DeMarco, the political writer for the Trustful Tribune, former state senator, and also the former chairman of the Jefferson County GOP. You just heard from Jeff Poore, editor-in-chief at 1819 News. If you listen to Jeff's show, you hear me there pretty often, which means every time I step in to do a show, I drag Jeff in with me, make him do a segment. I always love hearing Jeff's take on different political issues, whether it's statewide, something localized, or something that's national, international. Jeff keeps up with everything and follows stories as well as anybody I know. I really, really enjoy hearing his take and his opinion on different things that are going on in society. Tend to agree with him an awful lot. After our next break, which is coming up very shortly, we're going to have one of my favorite people. Brian Dawson is the CEO of 1819 News. We've jokingly referred to this as the 1819 News Hour, because we've got two of those guys joining us. Brian had a vision, started 1819 News, and I had the opportunity to meet him actually right before it got off the ground, and just could not be more impressed with what they've done and how they have gone after the media market in the state of Alabama and the success they're having, because you guys are responding. Y'all like them. And you're reading them, and you're checking out those stories, and you're doing the right thing because they're doing a really great job of bringing the news that you want to hear. So you're going to get to meet the guy who started it all, created it in his mind and went with it and has had serious success with it. We're excited for him, and I'm excited to bring him on and for you guys to hear him right after our next commercial break. We'll move on with that. Speaking of which, Boomer's playing music in my ear, and that usually means we're going to take a break for a few minutes. We'll be back. I hope you'll stay with us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Again, I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.